Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Always wanted to hear the real deal when it comes to fitness, health, nutrition, and physical well-being? This is Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKee.
What's cracking? What's really good?
They don't pull any punches. You'll only get the truth about how you get healthier, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now, here's Tasha McKee and Big Dave.
According to Len Elman of the British Heart Foundation National Center for Physical Education, quote, young children should absolutely not be doing any weight training or resistance work. I'm Tasha McKee. That's Big Dave. And welcome to Big Dave's Power Half Hour. All right, so I read that statement and immediately Big Dave rolled his eyes. Why did you say that?
Who the hell is Len Elman?
I mean, he's a British Heart Foundation.
Well, that's the first problem right there.
Okay.
He's a British something.
Okay? You are horrible.
We need some Meghan Markle to tell us about this,
Oh, my God. All right, so let's stop it. I love Meghan Markle.
I do, too.
Big congratulations out to her.
Yes, exactly. I'd rather hear her say that.
Right.
Because she's not British and we'll trust her.
So what made you roll your eyes and turn red when I read that statement? Let's kick this thing off.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say, first and foremost, Tosh looks beautiful today.
Thank you, Dave.
It's so good to see my little sister.
I love you.
But real talk, you know, this is a very, very touchy subject for a lot of people, me included, because this is what I do for a living.
Right.
And I have trained collegiate athletes. I have trained young aspiring athletes, blue chip athletes, and myself included, being an athlete back in the day. Now I'm just a fat bodybuilder. But
in any sense of the word,
you know, the biggest thing is I roll my eyes because you look at a person like Simone Biles, you look at some of these swimmers like Ledecky, and you look at, what was the girl that was from here? I totally had a brain fart.
Oh my gosh.
The swimmer that just got engaged, and
she's beautiful.
Yeah, and what the hell's her name? But we'll come up with it anyway.
Yes.
But these are all collegiate athletes and or adult athletes that started at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this guy is saying this, I would love to know what he's predicating this on. Now, we'll go into the ins and outs of why younger children and kids should not be in the gym, maybe weight training and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it contradicts everything we know as a athlete, a younger age, like a gymnastics, a baseball, a soccer, any sport, really. If you start at a younger age, which most parents have their kids start for group training and or sociability or athletics, you know, that changes everything.
It does. It does. I don't know. I think that we're in a different age.
Missy Franklin.
Is that her
That's
name?
That's who it is. Yeah.
Boom,
Missy Franklin. And I couldn't even read that.
I was trying to Google while he was talking. My bad.
But so, you know, the biggest thing is that's why I kind of roll my eyes, because it's like, wait a minute, bro. Like, what are you predicated on this? If you're predicated on bone growth, development, tendon development, I totally agree with you.
Okay.
Okay. But if they're under the supervision of professionals.
A professional.
Exactly.
Not a certificate holding
person. Right, right. If they're under the guidance of a professional that is basically controlling their form and maintaining them on a daily basis.
Right.
Then I don't see any problem with it, as long as the child is into it. And this is where it gets really sketchy. The child's into it, not the parent.
That's
where that really happy medium is, because how many parents do you know? Well, I want my kid in competitive gymnastics or baseball or soccer. And the kid's like, I don't want to do it.
I have a perfect example.
I'll go into a story here in a minute. But I have a perfect example of a kid that I used to train.
Yeah.
And he was a professional, literally a professional wrestler.
Oh.
Okay. And he was blind.
Really?
And so
God
he was blind. He had
him.
Special needs and he was blind. And his parents brought him to me. And they're the best parents in the world. And the problem was that all he did was wrestle throughout his elementary school, middle school, and beginning of high school. And this kid was a blue chip athlete. He was going
amazing.
To Olympics. Not only could he do Special Olympics, but he could do regular Olympics because he was blind. And so I took him on when he was in seventh grade.
Okay.
And he was a big kid.
Yeah.
I mean, big kid. But he was a gentle giant.
Right.
He was, a perfect kid. But he got burnt out. After 10th grade, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. He got picked up by Arizona. He got picked up by Oregon. He got picked up by Florida State.
His fire was gone.
But he did not want to wrestle anymore because he lost that childhood.
But what was it about it? Like, is
he
it,
just didn't have any time.
Or?
He had no time for sociability. All he did was school and wrestle.
So that's what his parents had.
And wrestling camps. And he would, I mean, when summer came, he was in wrestling camps with some of the top wrestlers in the nation.
Yeah.
And I mean, he loved it.
Yeah.
But then he started noticing that he didn't have time for friends or girlfriend or anything
just
like that.
The growing and pieces.
So his parents were very supportive, but yeah, they were heartbroken because not only all the financial aspects, but the time doing it and the amount.
I mean,
of,
I get that,
sure.
But that's your dream in right, your kid,
right.
And it's good to keep them active. You
right,
know, like my
right,
goal, I want my sons to make sure they're in sports. Now, which one? I don't know. Whatever
they prefer.
Whatever you prefer, we're
right,
going to get you touching all
but
of them.
Being
but
being active and being overzealous and overbearing is completely different. Like when I played football. My mom and dad were so supportive, but they pushed me. My father pushed me, but not to the point where it's like I missed everything. I wasn't able to do anything.
Yeah. So it wasn't like he was like, I need you to be this.
Right,
you need
right,
to get,
right.
Yeah.
He wanted me to be involved, but he didn't
just
push
to
me
active,
to the point where it was like, this is all you're going to do.
Yeah, this is your life.
You know what I'm saying? No, it wasn't like that.
Oh.
But I know a lot of parents that are like that.
Yeah.
And it's almost for the parents' benefit as opposed to the child.
It's like the parents are trying to push the lifestyle
right,
they wish on the kid.
Right. The child starts to rebel and revolt.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And it wasn't that his parents weren't supportive. They were just very, like, they saw his future.
Yeah.
And with being, having a little bit of a what's the word I'm looking for? Not a medical condition, but being, like, special needs in a way, being blind. They wanted to make sure he got everything he wanted and needed.
Right.
And he didn't want that
special. And they did that.
And they did a great job. They did. But the problem was is that he started missing hanging out with his friends. He started missing having a girlfriend.
Social life.
Those things that normal kids do because he was so consumed with being in a wrestling environment.
Yeah, he had this tight schedule. There was no space
and
for anything
And the kid,
else.
He basically said, you know what? I'm good. I'm done.
Good.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Aww.
And I tell you what, the kid wouldn't win Olympics.
I mean,
100%.
The great thing is if he ever wanted to bounce back,
I would think so. You know, wrestling, unfortunately, anymore is not like it's recognized, but they wanted to try and take it out of the Olympics, which was very interesting.
Really?
And I don't know why, because that's been, I mean, the Romans, when they started the Olympics and all that was like their mainstay was the wrestling.
God.
So, but yeah, it's very interesting, especially in the gym. Like the gym, perfect example, like you were talking about. You know, your little one wants to start the gym.
Yeah, so I had a brain fart. So last night, it was funny because, you know, I was sitting at home and I've been dealing with a migraine for on and off for like a week. So I've been like all over the place. But we're starting to realize it might be the smog, the smoke, the UV, the who knows.
Right.
So my son, Dylan, he's 10. And my son, Dylan, is son London is 12. So Dylan is the one, Mom, are we getting enough protein? Like, this is him when I'm cooking.
Right.
We should have salmon, but not all the time.
So he's kind of following
fatty,
your lead now.
Yeah, and he's such a, like, but it's almost natural. Like, this kid is a book. So last night, you know, I'm just checking out Big Day Power Half Hour, his, you know, the Instagram, and just going through stuff, and our algorithm is all fitness and great stuff. So Dylan was like, Mom, I want to look like that guy. And it's a guy drinking this amazing organic shake, and Dylan's like, and I look at the guy, and I look at him, it's night and day.
Right.
But my son wants to work out.
Right.
And so it's funny because I was training with Dave like a week and a half ago and I was like, kids can come to the gym. And then that's when you explained to me that a certain age, a certain way.
And I think the biggest thing, the misconception for a lot of people when they have children in the gym is when you bring a child to the gym, usually the parent will do something, a treadmill, of cardio source, and then the child kind of runs amok. And that's obviously when the child gets hurt.
It's not a daycare.
It's not a daycare. And that's not what you want to use as the gym, because there are people there that don't have kids, that don't want kids around when they're working out.
Absolutely.
And so they have to respect the aspect of the gym.
And I have kids, and I don't want kids around if they're going to be like that.
Now, but what we've seen in the last few years is a huge influx of younger kids in the gym, because social media and stuff like that, their influencers are showing this and showing that.
That, and not for nothing, there's a lot of problems when it comes to obesity with the child. And you know what it is? It's parents allowing food to be the babysitter and technology.
Like we talked about before on one of our shows, the bulimia aspect, and you know, a lot of people that are bulimic and or have closet issues. So the gym is a good place and a bad place.
Respect
because,
it though, yeah.
Yeah, you got to respect it. And you know, there's a lot of things in there that can hurt kids and or older people too. I mean, you know, and you have to be diligent. The biggest thing is this, and this has always been my stance on it. I have no problem training a child as long as I'm able to be diligent with the child
100%. Yeah.
And I'm like that with all my clients, as you will know. The form is the biggest thing for me.
I was going to ask
about
forms.
And the form is the biggest thing, you know. And unfortunately, I have to call out a lot of your high school and collegiate coaches right now, because you guys are in the Stone Age. You know, there are so many kids that are training right now in high schools that shouldn't be training the way they are training because of low back issues, lower lumbar problems, scoliosis.
So exactly.
And these coaches are not monitoring them in the gym, and these kids are running amok, and then they wonder why they can't move. And I think it starts with the coaches. They've got to be more diligent about, you know, what these kids are training and how they're training. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as long as they're supervised the proper way and the form has to be spot on, then there really is no issue. Now, granted, there are a lot of kids that they do develop at different ages, and growth spurts happen. The biggest thing for me is, you know, you got growth spurts and you have bone density issues. And basically, you need to make sure that the tendon ligaments are coming into fruition in the right way, and that, you know, there's not any sort of issues that could be occurring by being in the gym that could stunt growth and or cause problems. And, you know, that's going to be obviously getting checked out by a doctor, making sure everything's in check. But you should do that as an adult anyway.
I mean, if you're not doing that, then you might.
And just like we talked about
yourself
in a previous show with Dr. Nacken, it's like, you know, blood work for us to look at hormone health. So there's a lot of precautionary measures that you can take as a parent to get the child in the gym first. And you have to listen to the child, because child's going to tell you straight up, my back hurts. Okay, well, what did we do today that would make your back hurt? And that's really on the trainer. And you have to have that communication, and you have to have that rapport with the child. Okay, one thing about me is I'm a big kid, as you well know. Everybody that I train, everybody knows me, I'm a big kid. So I can relate to the Xbox and the PlayStation and the cars and all that stuff, because that's what I do. But the biggest thing is you have to have the trust of the child, and you have to make sure that the child knows that you're there for them, and you want them not to dread going. A parent shouldn't force their kid to go to the gym. And it's just like, you know, granted, yes, I played collegiate sports. I played high school sports and all through my life. One thing that Tasha and I were speaking of is my parents never forced me to do it.
And
it was something
that
I really enjoyed doing. But if I didn't want to do it anymore, my parents weren't like, well, you know, we put all this money into it, and we spent all this time doing it. You know, we traveled, you know, we changed our lifestyle for this. That's the problem right there, is when the parent takes over and makes the child do it because of other aspects.
So pretty much the question was going to be, how should a parent respond if the child says, I hate gym class, or I hate going to this training class and things like that?
Be find out why, first and foremost. And usually what I've seen is that the kid that's either not wanting to go there is uncomfortable because they're singled out. They may not be
most
up
of the
to
times
par.
That's how
they're,
I was in
not
high school.
So much bullied, but no, basically but no one's showing them, so they feel inadequate or embarrassed, and or their structure, their physique is not up to other kids. And I can attest to that. When I grew up, I was 120 when I graduated high school.
That's crazy.
I was very small, so I'm like three
that.
Times the size
like
I usually I was
times the size.
And it's funny because, you know, I remember when I first started out training, you know, I was very young. I went with a friend of mine and his father that was a big guy into the gym, and I remember the first day I tried to do squats and I fell backwards and the bar fell down and it made this ungodly noise, and I turned around and walked out. I just ran out of the gym.
Bye.
And I didn't go back. I was like, oh god damn, like this is crazy. But I was embarrassed.
It's like embarrassment is at a whole different level when you're younger.
And I couldn't imagine doing that now. I mean, if I did that now, I'd laugh because people would be like, are you kidding? You know,
and
obviously you're just doing it for attention.
Right.
But you know, it's funny because back then when I dropped it, it made this god-awful sound, and I mean, you thought the gym was going to explode, and everyone was staring at me, and I literally just beelined out the gym. And I remember going back a couple days later because my dad sat down with me and said, look, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, my mom and dad were so supportive, and I think it starts with them, you know, that they have to have that support system, because, you know, they may see a cartoon character, or a girl may see another girl on an Instagram page or something like that. And when it's done that way, I feel that it's okay. To a degree. But but when a girl is augmented and a girl is not natural, and a younger child
pressures.
Is seeing that, it's like, wait a minute. That's the parent's responsibility to sit them down and explain, well, you may not look like that, and that's okay.
And then you also got to explain the fact that there's filters. I did that growing up.
Yes.
We didn't have, you know,
Instagram
as a child.
And
when
Snapchat
I was, but
and
we
all
had
that.
Cosmopolitan magazine.
We had
health magazines. And I was like, I remember it didn't matter to me at a certain age because I was the only girl out of boys in my neighborhood. But then growing up, I was like, I want to look like her or her. And my mom was like, hold on. nipped it in the butt.
And that's
just
that's,
want you to know
that's
they
the
fixed this
right.
to look like if you see this girl in person. But see, that's where adults come into play, and it's important for you to have conversations and not talk at your child. And not for nothing, my sons are 10 and 12. Yes, do they have social media? Absolutely not. Not even TikTok.
Right.
Because
and I think
I
that's
have to,
smart.
I want to preserve their
right.
mental health
right.
as long as
right.
I can, and mold it as much as I can.
You should
you know
be
what
molding
I mean?
It, not social
not
media.
Not social media.
It's not like a big brother type thing.
It's just it's crazy.
And
but
I think the biggest thing too is like when I sit down with a consult with some people yeah. that want to do beak or bikini mm-hmm. As a profession, I really lay into those people pretty harsh. And I say this very full transparent, like I always am, because I want them to understand that this industry that we're in is mm-hmm. not an easy industry.
Oh, no.
And you are criticized up one side and down the other, because when you go out on stage in a bikini and or a pair of posing trunks or a pair of board shorts,
yeah.
there's really not much left to the imagination.
No, you're bare,
yeah,
honey.
You are basically
much...
right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is that a lot of people see these athletes doing well, or they see them on Instagram or social media. I hate to keep bringing up social media,
no, but
that
it's
is
true.
That's the platform,
it's a
really.
Huge part of people's
you know,
lives.
You really don't see magazines too much
not
anymore.
As
you
much.
See social media.
Yeah.
And so when I sit down with some of these people, they're like, D, I really would like to be a pro bodybuilder or a pro bikini girl.
Mm.
And I'm not one to be a dream killer or crush them.
But you have to be honest.
But I also want to be honest and transparent, because
and
a lot of trainers.
And if they can handle your transparency,
yeah, right.
they can handle
and
stage.
And a lot of trainers out there will fill these people with nothing but bullshit, to be perfectly honest
because
with you.
Because they want that trophy
right.
or their
and
name
the
on that trophy.
The problem is they want the paycheck or whatever, and they know damn well that these people probably can't aspire to be that. Now, granted, it's, I'm
yeah.
not sitting there saying that you can't get to that level.
Right.
But, you know, again, we always say in our show, you got to crawl before you walk.
Right.
And I'm very honest, and I break it down not only financially, I
nope.
break it down,
yep.
you know, hormonally and, yep. and physically, genetically.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some people genetically that just don't have it. And they can't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they can't get up to that potential.
Right.
But to compete on a pro circuit and get paid to do this, completely different level. That's why you only see a certain amount of people winning the shows repetitively.
It's just so hard because a person in your place where you are, like, you mentally have to prepare these folks. And if they're not mentally prepared,
right.
then they're not going to be
well,
disciplined.
Well, you know better than anybody.
It's
on
hard.
Certain days, you don't feel
yeah,
good. You don't want to go to the gym.
You want to scarf down,
right.
you know, three
right.
slices of pizza.
Right.
Or but it's just like mentally, you have to, it's hard to connect mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just to be able to do
and
it.
And do you
like,
want
you
that?
Do, it.
Do you want that pressure on a child
God,
at 10 or 12?
No.
And I think that's where... You know, that's why we wanted to do this show, because we want our listeners and people out there to understand there's nothing wrong with bringing your child to the gym.
Right.
Let's make that clear.
There's lots of reasons
but
why
as
you
long
should.
As they are handled with kid gloves and dealt with professionally, and again, form is watched over, the person is watched over and supervised,
right.
they're not running amok, because again, it falls on the trainer's lap if something does happen to that child. And
yeah.
that trainer better be diligent about knowing what they're doing with someone that small and that young.
See, for me, I think during COVID, now that we're finally coming out of it, thank God, like
right.
the guys were doing it, okay? But for me, I think during COVID, you know, with the kids being remoting home at the time, I was just thinking like, you know, there's something, they got to do something. And our kids go through stressors, whether you want to believe it or not, just because they can't form the words properly the way we do or show stress the way we do. They really, really do.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was looking at London and I'm looking at Dylan, my sons, and I'm like, they got to do. But I always hear, hey, mom, let's go in the backyard and let's do a circuit. I'm
right.
like, how the hell you know about a circuit? But they listen to conversations. They know what
they're
carbs
more intuitive
and protein
than you think they
and
are.
Simple facts
right.
are. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, I looked up something and it said, and you tell me what you think about these 5 reasons to take your kids to the gym. And this is why I want my kids in the gym. And I think it's a perfect time for the opportunity to talk about it, because I want them to train with you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right. Number one, to teach fitness values. What do you think about that?
What's the point of doing this? Why are we doing this at a young age?
Yep.
So it instills a lot of goals and morals and values. I'll be honest with you.
Stress relief.
When I started doing bodybuilding, it really structured my life.
Yeah.
Because everything had to be on a time schedule.
Yeah.
My food had to be on a time schedule. My supplements had to be on
a time
schedule.
But do you like that type of living?
I do.
See, I do too.
I do. And you know, it's funny because as I get older, and I think I speak for a lot of people, and I call myself out, I procrastinate on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like putting my clothes away after the laundry.
But it's crazy because if you're strict in one area,
right,
you're going to probably
bend. I'm off in the other. Like, I'm very anal about my car being cleaned twice a week.
Oh, God.
But,
I don't know how
this.
You did it through the winter.
So,
it was shiny.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, Dave, how's your car so clean during the winter?
We just got a blizzard.
Right, like, exactly. You know. My car's gleaming out there. So, you know, your emphasis seems to go on one thing, but then it kind of starts to...
Ends on others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy.
I think it instills some really good morals and values.
And I want that for
and
my kids.
Really... not procrastinating on certain things.
Yeah, and it teaches them if you start something, I feel like
finish it.
Number two, to provide health benefits.
And that carries through your whole life. I mean,
your
I know so many
life.
People now that I hear this so many times a week. If I would have started earlier.
Yeah.
It's like,
just
well,
imagine.
Okay, agree.
Yeah.
But guess what? You can't go back in time.
Yeah.
So now is the time. Don't
now
look in the rear view. Like Corona was here. I know a lot of clients, and I have a lot of clients and people that I'm dealing with as we speak right now that gained 20, 30, 40 pounds of Corona.
Yeah, that was me.
But guess what?
On top of my back surgeries.
Okay,
it's over. No more excuses.
Let's move forward and kill it.
Yeah, exactly. Number three, to foster socialization. And I think that's important because a lot of kids weren't in school or might have gone part-time, but I don't know. You start meeting kids who are at a better level than you.
I think the biggest thing is friendly competition is always good.
Yeah.
And again, I only speak for myself, but I think I speak for Tasha too.
Yeah.
Disagree or agree. I am not one. I was not raised where I get a participation trophy.
No.
That I don't agree with.
Okay. You gotta give it to yourself.
If I run faster next to me and I beat him, I win.
Oh, I'm cheering in my head.
And I'm not going to scold him, and my mom and dad aren't going to be like, ah, look at that. My kid's better than you. But there's got to be a level of competition, friendly competition.
Yeah.
And I think it's the parents' responsibility to teach the child, look, you won, you beat him. But you know what? You walk over and you give him a hug and say, you know what? Thank you for the competition. You did great.
And I love you for that. And I can't wait for you to be a dad because you're going to be amazing. And you're right. But when I'm at the gym and I'm doing incline of 12,
she's
and
going
doing
full bore, boys and girls.
I'm not going to walk over to you and say, I just kicked your ass.
But you know what?
I think, for our kiddos, I get it.
And I think that the socialization that the kids have in the gym, you know, let me tell you what, I became very egotistical when I started putting weight on.
Yeah.
And I became a real ass.
Yeah.
And I got checked hard. As a matter of fact, I'll be very, very, very honest. I got my ass beat in front of Gold's Gym one morning before I opened it.
What do you mean?
Guys were waiting outside and they beat the piss out of me.
Why?
Because they checked me. They checked my ego, and you know what was probably the best thing that could have happened to me?
Oh, I think in life, everybody can get tested.
They didn't beat the crap out of me, but they made it very clear, look, you are nothing, okay? And you will earn the respect of the people in the gym.
Oh,
now,
no.
Granted, that doesn't happen now that much, but right. What I'm saying is,
yeah.
I needed that ego check because I thought I was king crap. And just because I was starting to put some weight on, you know, I walked around with my fanny pack and my stupid slouch socks and my hot skins. And let me tell you what, sometimes you need a little bit of a check.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a good ego check.
So I think
the socialization, like you said, is good.
It's
a friendly
important.
Competition is important.
And it's very, very important. Number four, to make childcare more affordable. In other words, when you go to
the gym is your babysitter.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, say you go to the gym. Instead of leaving your kiddo at home eating Oreos and sitting there playing Minecraft, you know, or having somebody from next door, a babysitter, come over.
Why not implement them?
Why not let them see you do it? You are their example, so
and it
why
should
not?
Be a reward system because when a kid comes to the gym and acts up, that doesn't benefit the person that's coming, the parent training, because that's their release as well.
Right.
So it's got to be rewarded, and you want it to be a reward. Hey, I'm going to bring you to the gym today, but you know the consequences if you act up. You're not coming back with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paying good money for Dave to train you, so therefore, guess what? He's going to be mad. And I really try and separate at least myself with the kids and the parent. I want the kids to be comfortable with me that they can talk to me about anything.
Right.
And if there's something, God forbid, that I need to introduce to the parent, then I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dave, I'm suicidal. I feel like I'm going to jump off my roof.
Well,
parents going to find out for sure.
Yeah.
But if the kid comes to me and confides in me about dating
something
or
they can't
kissing,
talk about the parent
or,
about,
right,
yeah.
they just don't feel comfortable, that means a lot to me. And that's what I really try and get kind of get across to the child. Like, look, everything we discuss is between us.
Right.
I want you to understand that. Yeah. There's a trust there, a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start becoming kind of a mentor in
a
way. And there's a responsibility that I carry.
Oh, yeah, there's a huge one.
And I tell you what, that's one thing I love about what I do is that I get that trust from the child. And, you know, and the parent's like, he won't talk to me or she won't talk to me about that. And I'm like, well, that's whack. And
well,
then
most
I'll
times
sit
because
down
parents
with the,
talk at
right,
the kids.
I'll sit down with the child and be like, look, these are things we have to introduce to mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a kind of level the playing field, like you said, which is a great, great analogy. And it's okay.
Yeah.
But the parent has to be open and not
yeah,
be
you
so
can't be
closed-minded.
Hovering, like, that's the
right.
thing.
Hanging
like,
over their head.
Listen.
And, yeah, there's consequences to what you said. No.
You have
no.
to cut the umbilical cord your
yes.
damn self. And
yes.
number five is to offer pretty much flexibility, just pretty much piggybacking off of number four. But I think at the end of the day, promoting fitness for kids is a great way to keep the family healthy. You know what
I think
mean?
So too. I think when, again, my mom and dad didn't really work out too much. My dad was a big guy, played football.
Mm.
So those morals were instilled in me, but they never forced me to go to the gym. But let
Thank
me tell
gosh.
You, they were so supportive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember many times going downstairs at 3 a.m, turning the blender on and blending my shake that was like sludge. But my dad would come down and be like,
what
okay.
What the hell are you doing?
Right, exactly. What the hell are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm making my shake. I got to eat before I go to the gym. What? Good for you.
Yeah,
he's
but
like,
that's
we're,
awesome. It's
we're
discipline,
here.
And that's hard.
And that's the thing. It's like it instills discipline and it instills that structure that I feel a lot of kids, unfortunately, right now don't have. And you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot better to get your kid going in a gym and a circuit and with other people and a trainer that's really diligent about it as opposed to, well, just sit in front of the TV and play.
Well, you're teaching them
that's
to
a
be
reward.
To be
that
lazy,
should be a reward. Hey,
to
you
not
go to the
push
gym.
Themselves
right.
to be better.
Right, you go to the
you
gym,
know?
You can sit and play for a little bit. I tell you what, I think one of the best things that was out for a long time was the Wii.
Yeah.
Remember the Nintendo Wii?
Oh my gosh,
that thing
my daughter
was
had
awesome.
That.
Awesome. You know, it had so many interactive games that were physical.
Mm-hmm.
Golf and boxing
jump around,
and jumping. Yeah,
dancing.
Kickball, dancing.
It was pretty great. I don't know. We have a few statements and questions. Carl from Waterbury, Connecticut says he started his son and daughter, who are twins, when they were both 10 years old. See, that gives me some.
Exactly.
Some. And now they're 18. He said it's absolutely the best. They're in absolutely the best shapes of their lives. And because of fitness starting out young, it became a part of their daily
Good.
Routine, which is awesome.
Good.
Big shout out to Lauren from Inglewood. She said, I wanted them to have something to do over the holiday period. Of course, during COVID, they seem to get so bored and not dedicated to more fitness instead of watching television. Now we go to the gym on a daily as a family. And then Kimberly from Austin, Texas says, hey, Dave.
Uh-oh, what up?
This is a question. My 11-year-old is smart and a happy kid, but I feel as if I failed him by allowing him to eat whatever he chooses. And I feel that he could be much happier if I were to get him healthy. How do I go about doing that? Wow.
Slowly. That's a
At
great
11,
question.
I'm
we
trying
appreciate
to picture
that.
My son.
Slowly,
wow.
Slowly, because I will be honest with you, you know, at my age, being wow. older, I'm set in my ways to a degree, but I'm starting to realize, well, I've realized for a long time, but again, I was procrastinating and lying to myself,
yeah.
that there are other subsidiaries other than Doritos and sour cream and onion and stuff like that for me.
Yeah.
And there's so many different things out there that you can kind of replicate, but it's so much better for you.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that. And I'm telling you, honestly, it's a process.
It is.
And you don't want to force it because then they're going to rebel.
But make it feel natural.
Right.
I'll say this. In my house, we were big chip fiends, especially during my last two surgeries here in Colorado. But what I started doing is hey guys, I need some help cutting up this celery.
Yeah,
or I need some
them.
Help stuffing
yeah,
these
have
peppers.
Them help so they know
but,
what's up.
Yeah, instead of saying, I need you, you're gonna cook with me,
right.
I make him feel like I need you.
Right.
And with boys, and I don't know, probably the same way, shout out to my sister Em, I love you, and I'm sure when you tell Dave, I need you, he comes and he feels good.
I
about
totally
it,
am there
right?
to help. I'm but the one that cooks, but very limited.
But when you make a young man or, you know, kids or a man feel like they're needed, they come. And I noticed that when I'm like, hey guys, I need your help. They're really more in tune with eating these vegetables, eating these things. And we're kind of like not even looking at the chips anymore.
Right.
We're buying more
right.
fruit and making fruit salad. So I think, I don't know, to answer Kimberly's question, I think start doing things together, but make it fun.
Yeah, I think it's how you introduce it. I think
you
that
make it fun.
You don't pull it away.
Yeah.
You don't pull it away.
Not completely.
Because,
slowly.
You know, the one thing is if the child knows that you're like, look,
this is the goal.
You know, we're not going to eat this anymore. We're going to, you know, they walk in the house and everything's gone. And replace with something else. That ain't gonna
work. That's a shock.
That's
it's
not
like
gonna work.
Going and cold turkey.
Yeah, then they're gonna start hiding stuff. And I know a lot of kids that will food hoard.
Listen, one of my cousins, he used to do that.
Yeah.
He would hide the food under his bed.
Right. And it's like, are you crazy? I mean, and I think
crazy,
of that. And I'm like,
yeah.
that's crazy. But then I
real.
See why.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're literally taking something that gives them joy away.
Yeah.
And for what? They're not getting punished, but that's how they feel.
But it's crazy because your taste buds. Is like, hey, I want that pizza.
Right.
I want that steak.
Right.
But if you just gradually, like Dave was saying,
yep.
slowly take it away and do things together, I think you can make
and
it
I
happen.
Think
go
all
walks
in, right.
together.
It's all in how you explain it. It's
yeah.
like, look, you know, sure we can have McDonald's Friday.
Ugh.
Okay, but do me a favor.
Yeah.
Try this out and
right.
see what you think. If you don't like
yeah.
it, be honest,
mm-hmm.
and we'll try something different.
Yeah.
But it falls on the parent to have different ideas and
it's
different
up to
things.
You to be creative.
To be creative.
Yeah.
Go to the store. Let them come with you and be
right.
like, hey, do you want to try broccoli? Personally, I don't like broccoli.
I love broccoli.
I don't. I don't like broccoli. And my mom used to cook broccoli with cheese on it.
Put some Himalayan
right.
salt on there. And
she
some,
put
I can't
some broccoli on
butter.
It, and I give it to the damn dog.
What
and what's
the
funny
hell?
Is the dog would spit it on the floor,
and then
fart. I was wearing it because my dad was like, "You eat it or wear it." You know, there's people out there that are starving, and you don't want to eat this.
Why does every parent say that? There's people in the world that are starving.
Yeah.
You're going to eat this shit
because it really does hit home.
Yeah, it does.
But what's funny is that if you implement like. I love celery and carrots with ranch. Okay.
I love celery with
But what's
butter.
The one thing that they usually serve celery and carrots with?
Wings.
Wings.
Amazing
so,
wings.
Okay, great. Eat some wings, but give them the celery and carrots.
Yeah.
And then they'll start introducing, look,
yeah.
you just ate something that's very nutritional valued for you.
Right.
Okay.
It's,
and you had wings with it. So kind of compartmentalize it and give it. Limited, I guess is the best way. Limited.
And big shout out to the parents that are trying to change this up and don't
yeah,
know
it's
where
not
to
easy.
Start. First of all, we love you for listening. We appreciate you.
Yes,
we,
thank you
we
for the
love
questions.
Answering your questions. And Kimberly, you know, I say this because it was my fault. I'm the one who goes to the store and buys the Doritos and buys the
right.
chips and things, not realizing it spikes your blood pressure.
Right.
Some people are going through. But what I wind up doing is like, you know what, guys? Let's bake a cake.
Yeah.
Instead of using the vegetable oil, I'm using applesauce.
Or, right.
You know,
or canola, a really good coconut
yeah.
oil and stuff like that.
Instead of getting milk from the grocery store, I'm getting it from the farm. It costs
right.
the same and
right.
it's a lot cheaper
right.
and it's
right.
a lot better for
yep.
your body. But
nutritional value is way better.
I think sometimes us parents think our children have common sense when you got to remember you're the lead.
Yeah.
And if you change up things without them knowing or do it in a fun way, they're going to be like, wow, this is good. And
yeah,
it becomes a part
example.
Of their life.
100%.
So from the heart with love, it starts with you.
Yes. And, you know, if they
Period.
See you, you know, drinking all the time, if that's what you choose to do,
I don't even do that
and eating crap, then they're going to say, well, you can do it. And I tell you what, one thing that is interesting is how many kids talk back these days.
That blows my mind.
Why do I have to do it? You do it.
I wish.
Let me tell you something. I would not have a head. My dad would swipe my head off my shoulder, or my mom would too.
But you know what's funny? Even with my kiddos, I've never had to use, like hit them.
Right.
Like if I look at my sons and they disappointed me. And it's not even a mean look. It's just they feel my youngest will cry. And I'm like, I don't want you to cry, honey. I want you to understand.
I cry too when she looks at me like that.
Oh, whatever. Don't listen to him.
But seriously, it is. There's a look that they know. It's like,
parents,
I'm not going
mamas.
Further.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the biggest thing. And, of course, my mom and dad didn't really hit us, but they had, my dad was like the fear of God. It's like, you know what? You want to keep pushing it.
But see, because mom, you got to go through mom first.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you don't listen, then the voice comes.
Well, then I got the, I'm going to call your father.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go vacuum now and I'm going to clean the house. And
but why did it have to take all of that?
Because we take advantage. Because you know what? Mom ain't going to do nothing, hit you with a spatula.
I can't even do it.
Now, see, my sister never got hit with nothing, but I always got hit with something. The spoon was the one that always got me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My dad
wooden spoon?
No, a regular spoon.
Damn, the spoon.
Well, because I was not the nicest child. I would talk back. And so it was definitely
Poor Dave.
Warranted.
Poor Dave.
But no, honestly, like Tosh said, in all seriousness, it really does start with the parent.
It does.
If you have a bowl of chips and you're eating candy and stuff like that at night, the child's going to be like, well, if you can do it, why can't I?
And
well, because I'm your parent.
And that's
not going to work.
Answer.
It's not going to work.
Because you, no matter what, and not for nothing, if you stop for a second and look at it inside out, they're really helping you to get better too.
100%. They're keeping you responsible.
So look at it more of in a positive way. And
so instead of that popcorn and carrots and cheese and cheese and crackers, and there are so many different things out now. You can literally,
you can make
not only YouTube, but go on the web and you can just type in fun recipes to
go to our friend Bobby Flav. Flav City. On Instagram with Rose, they got some great, he always has some great GMO-free organic recipes.
The five ingredient recipes.
Yeah, the book. You can always do that. And real quick, Kimberly, get some bikes. Go bike riding with the kiddos. Don't tell them they're exercising. Just let them know that you're going to have a good time with them today. Everybody jump on your bikes, grab your headbuds, and let's go. That's it.
That starts with you at home, guys. And that's the thing is that, you know, if they see you doing it, and you're enjoying it, they're going to do it. And don't force them. Look, if you go on a bike ride with me, sure, we can go get some ice cream.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Sure.
But don't reward them with technology.
Yeah, no. No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Don't make
them do something outside.
I did that.
Granted, it's hot. And the one thing we're going to make very clear is hydrate.
Yes.
Kids and parents, the more water that they see you drinking, the more water they're going to drink. Flavor it a little bit. Get
some
lemons. Get some strawberries. Infuse
mint,
it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That helps tremendously.
Whatever your kid sees you doing, no matter what you think or say,
they're going to emulate it.
Pretty much.
And that's it.
We love you guys.
That's what we say.
There you go. So if you have any topics you want to talk about, you want us to discuss, please, by all means, email us at bigdavespowerhalfhour@gmail.com. This conversation actually came from that. And then it was just something that was brewing in our lives anyway, because I want to get my boys started. My son says he wants an 8-pack. He's 10. I don't know how that's going to happen.
We make that happen. And the thing is that, you know, you look at some of these younger kids that are training.
Yeah.
I mean, some of their physiques are incredible at
that's what I want for
12
my kids.
And 13.
Yeah.
Do you have a life other than working out?
And
they do.
Just make them healthy.
It just so happens that's what they do. And there's so many other morals and values that go along with it.
Listen, this is a whole new generation, and kiddos want to get in the gym. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to feel confident. And if this is what it is the best thing for them to do, let's just do it, okay?
Yeah, there could be way worse things.
Lord,
that's
listen, we'll be back next week. Don't listen to Dave. We love you.
Later.
Follow Big Dave's Power Half Hour on social media. At Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Join us next week for another episode dedicated to getting you healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha Makia.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.